This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
People dream high in the quiet of the night. You know that I caught it. Bad, bad boy, shiny toy with a price. You know that I bought it. Killing me slow, out the window. I'm always waiting for you to be waiting below. Devils roll the dice, angels roll their eyes. What doesn't kill me makes me want you more.
Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. That's Taylor Swift. She's singing a big hit in 2019, Cruel Summer. She's been doing well over the past quite a few years, as a matter of fact. Whoa, there we go. Trying to get the microphone locked in a little better. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday morning, January 17th, along with my buddy Big Ed. We are very grateful. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Neville Kramer. He is an immigration and security specialist. And we're going to talk about our presence in Iraq, our tensions with Iran, and how our Ukraine connection has directly impacted on the impeachment situation. And now that the, speaking of that, that the impeachment documents are in the hands of the Senate, we're going to call on the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceraci, to discuss whether we're going to get a fair trial or not for President Trump. So stay tuned for that. And there is one pundit going around saying that if the Trump people are smart, they would be plastering what she calls the unemployment chart all over the media. We'll talk about that. And in our ultimate top 10, you just heard one of the songs, the top 10 best songs of 2019. By the way, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay for you men, Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in Dunedin. It's located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. It's the best haircut you can get. The guy's got over 50 years of haircut experience, and he's got a great staff. So get in there for a great price and a great haircut, Andrew's Master Barbershop. Also, please go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, and you can listen to any of our shows that we've done recently because Big Ed puts all of our shows on the podcast. And you'll also be able to see what guests are coming up on that website. I mean, all kinds of good things. Ourfreedomworks.com. Okay, well, anybody watch the procession and all of this pomp and circumstance with the delivery of the documents of the impeachment yesterday? And I'm waiting for my, I want Nancy to send me one of those gold-plated pens. Remember she said it was going to be such a solemn and sad occasion? They're celebrating. Did you see all the pens with her gold signature on them? And they were put on the silver platter. Literally, she had silver platters of gold pens to do with the, because she had signed the impeachment documents. What a joke. What a joke. And then they were, you know, did you see them marching down the hallway there? I guess there's a little tunnel separating the House from the Senate. And, you know, what they should have done, if I was in the Senate, I would have slammed the, I would have slid that, those bars across where the House ends and the Senate begins and say, no, you're not coming over. Go home.
And I'm sure those gold pens in the plate and everything came out of her own account, right?
Yeah, that's another thing.
I'd like to know who paid for that.
Exactly. That's a very good point, Ed. I was thinking about that as well. So the taxpayers are picking up all these gold pens that she decides to, or is it coming out of her pocket? I bet it's not coming out of her pocket. I'll bet the ranch, it's not coming out of her pocket. So anyway, they're all over there now with the documents. And now the question is, we're going to have trial witnesses. And if so, are both sides going to be able to present them? Republicans are threatening to weaponize a fight on the impeachment witnesses amid growing concern that the moderates within the Republican ranks, within their caucus, could help Democrats call people like John Bolton to testify. After weeks of pledging that they would hold a quick trial, no witnesses, from Majority Leader McConnell on down, they're now sending public warning shots that if their GOP colleagues open the door to Democratic witnesses, they will respond in kind, forcing votes on a slew of controversial individuals. Now, if you're going to do the impeachment of somebody, I mean, that's pretty important. And I think that if there's any relevant testimony that needs to be heard that hasn't been heard, great, then bring it out. On these two charges, because that's what this is all about. Nothing further than that. And for those people that say, well, Bolton knows all kinds of things. Well, sure, and so does Hunter Biden and Joe Biden on this Ukraine situation. They know all kinds of things, too. So I think they deserve to be heard. So let's hear everybody. Then let the Senate vote. I don't see any problem with witnesses, really. It's up to the Senate. And their argument, or McConnell's argument, has been, look, you had all this time. Bring the witnesses into the indictment, which is the House version of the impeachment. Let them talk there. You had all this time to do it, and you chose not to bring in Bolton or anybody else. You got certain people. Republicans were not allowed to call their own witnesses. So, you know, you had your shot. I mean, I think there's legitimate arguments on both sides of that one. And the female senator from Maine, the Republican senator, whose name I always forget, came out, I think it was yesterday, if not this morning, to say, you know, I don't mind hearing from some witnesses. And she had said the same thing because she was around during the Clinton impeachment. She had also said then, I don't mind hearing witnesses. So at least she's consistent. And so we'll see where it goes. We know where it's going to end up. It's going to end up that Trump is exonerated. Meanwhile, by the way, he's over in he's going to be in Switzerland, which I think is good. He's not going to sit on his hands while all of this is going on. President Trump yesterday said he plans to go to Switzerland. I guess he's going to look for some Swiss watches and cuckoo clocks and maybe check on his Swiss bank account or whatever he's got over there. I would like him to bring back a couple of cuckoo clocks.
One for Pelosi.
And I was going to say, and bring it over to Nancy because it would fit in perfectly with her decor. Calling the impeachment a hoax and saying he believes the Senate will quickly wrap the thing up, Trump says he plans to attend the World Economic Forum conference in Davos, Switzerland. You ever been to Davos, Switzerland, Ed?
Not yet.
Okay. He says, I'm going to be going to Davos. Sounds like a Western town, Davos. Bring my six guns with me. He said, I'll be meeting the biggest business leaders. I'll say one thing about Trump. He doesn't lack for self-aggrandizement. He's always meeting the greatest people, the biggest people, most important people. None more important than he is, of course. You got to love him. You know, he's got that attitude. You're not going to change him. He's too old. He's too old to be changed. He's going to be that way all the way through. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, I can't wait to talk with this great immigration security expert, Neville Kramer.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday morning. Delighted to have back our buddy Neville Kramer. He is a great man. He is an immigration and security specialist. He is a former INS agent at the border. He is the author of a great book called Immigration Chaos. And we wanted to bring Neville back because of all these things that are going on overseas with Trump and Iran and Iraq. And Neville, you have a lot of experience in the Mideast, I know. But I wanted to get your perspective right now on I don't know if there is such a thing, but the Trump doctrine, as it were, in the Mideast. Is there a Trump doctrine?
First of all, hi, Paul. Great to be back on the show, and happy decade to you.
Thank you.
You don't get to say that very often.
You know, I gotta say one thing about that, because everybody says, you know, this is the start of a new decade. Actually, it's the last year of the old decade. Did you know that? That the actual...
Well, yeah.
I know. I'm being a stick in the mud, but I... But anyway, thank you for that. Thank you. Yes, sir.
No, you're welcome. When you're my age, Paul, you don't care if it's the beginning
or
the end. You're just glad.
I know the feeling. Yeah. All right. So we got this thing going on in Iran. And by the way, the Ayatollah has called today, has decided to call Donald Trump a clown. And I guess there were 11 military guys that were, they got a concussion. I mean, it's not really a bad deal from that missile attack by the Iranians on the... Iraq, U.S. military bases, but that's about it. But anyway, the Trump doctrine over there. Do we have one, Neville?
Yeah, I believe there's I don't think it's actually a written doctrine, but I know from my experience over in that part of the world that there's probably a closer relationship right now with the United States and the countries such as the United Arab Emirates, the Saudis, the Kuwaitis, Bahrain, and they are closer and more friendly to the United States and not as hostile to Israel as they ever have been in our lifetime.
Wow.
They have a fear of Iran, and their surrogates around Hezbollah and Hamas and Yemen and so forth. And there's a great fear throughout the Middle East that the Iranians are troublemakers, and when they make trouble for a lot of people get killed. And the taking out of Soleimani was a huge step in the right direction as far as most of those people are concerned.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the whole Soleimani thing. Now, he was an Iranian general, but he was also a terrorist, was he not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The great part is that he was the brains behind it. You know, most of these the religious fanaticism over there, but this was not somebody who was involved in fanaticism. This was a planner. He was a skilled military expert, and he knew, you know, where to attack and how to attack. And his fingerprints were all over the Middle East as far as the destruction and the terrorism was concerned.
Now, Trump has vowed in so many words that Iran will never get a nuclear weapon. He tore up or ignored or whatever they did with the Obama-Iran nuclear pact. He said that wasn't worth the paper it was printed on. Do you think that was a good idea?
Yes, absolutely, because it wasn't worth the money. It wasn't worth anything. In fact, if you look at the actual document, it didn't really say that Iran couldn't have a nuclear weapon. It was a delay of Iran getting a nuclear weapon. And, of course, the Israelis have always said that they're never going to allow it to happen. This is a promise that we certainly hope in the free world that Trump keeps. Whether he has to do it unilaterally or whether he has to do it with his allies, is they have to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon.
Right.
Period. Oh. That's the bottom line. That's a line in the sand. These are people they're not like Pakistan and India. These are people that will use it, and they'll do it as a first strike. They'll try to take out Israel, and they don't care of the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
They have a death wish in many instances, as we all know. We saw that in 9/11 with the martyrdom and so forth. Mm-hmm. And not saying that the Saudis were the same thing as the Iranians. They're not, but the religious aspect of it is the same, and the martyrdom is the same. And I think these people are willing to use a nuclear weapon on Israel or anyone else.
If they get it, yeah. We're talking with Neville Kramer. He knows what he speaks about. By the way, he's the author of a great book that's been out for quite a while, Immigration Chaos. If you can you still get that book online, Neville?
You can. You can go to immigrationchaos.com, or you can go to Google. I'm sorry, you can go to Amazon and get it, the Kindle version of it.
Okay.
And I hope they do, and I hope they also are aware that I do public speaking now. I'm on a tour myself.
Oh.
And
Tell us about
going
it.
Around. And mm-hmm. Well, I have a presentation that's going to be done this year called Immigration Chaos 2020. And it's going to talk about all the different aspects of immigration reform and what we're going to do or what they're proposing to do and how it's going to work or not work.
Wow.
So, looking forward to that.
Yeah, you have a great deal of knowledge about what is going on our southern border. I'm still thinking that when a push comes to shove in the 2020 election, I think a lot of people, Democrats and Republicans, go, you know what? We got to keep that border from just being so porous. And it seems like Trump is trying to do that. He's trying to keep it that way. I'm not so sure about the Democrats. I think that's going to be a bigger issue than maybe the media and a lot of people believe. What do you think?
Yes, but you know, I've talked about this before. I think the real issue is on the interior of the United States. The wall is necessary in some areas, but there's a political aspect to it, and there's a border patrol aspect to it. That I don't want to get into now, but
mm-hmm.
We have to also be concerned about the interior of the United States, and we're not. And if I would like to talk to your audience about one thing, and that is if Iran tries to do something against the United States, whether have surrogates do it or do it themselves, we have to be concerned about one thing. In the interior of the United States, and that's, as I guess there's a cliche, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link, Paul. And what I'm talking about is we have a weak link in this country, and it's susceptible to hacking, and it's called our electrical grid.
Oh, yeah.
And people in America don't understand that almost everything that we do during the day, whether it's our cellular phones, Wi-Fi, hydro, nuclear, gas, wind, solar, however we get our electricity, it's all controlled by electricity. And without the electricity, we don't drink water. Without electricity, we don't turn the lights on. We don't talk on the cell phones, etc. And if we are going to get attacked, and our enemies, either from within or outside, we're going to be in trouble. And we have a problem with our electrical grid in that we have companies like Pacific Gas and Electric that's now in a state of bankruptcy, which controls a tremendous amount of electricity just in California. And they don't have enough sense to take care of the things that cause catastrophic wildfires, let alone making certain that we don't get hacked by exterior forces around the world that would like to destroy us. So we have to keep that in mind.
What's the answer to it?
We have to worry about the interior.
What's the answer? I mean, we've got utilities all over the country, different utilities, and they're all kind of individual. They run on their own. What are we going to do? How are we going to protect our grid?
Great, great question. I tried to answer a lot of questions like that in my book. But
okay. Well, maybe that's where we got to go. We got to go to Immigration Chaos 2020, and you'll answer it? Is that where the answers are? It's a difficult question to ask. It's an even more difficult question to answer.
That's correct. I think we have to spend a lot of money. Instead of spending, I'm not saying this against the wall, but instead of spending money on the wall, we better know who's in the United States as well as who's outside the United States going after this weak link.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say the enemy within. I mean, that's always the deal, right?
Yeah, and that's immigration. But from the outside, you know, people are worried. If you listen to what's going on in the news, they'll tell you, oh, my gosh, you know, Soleimani's death, they're going to hack the banks or the financial, well, because your ATM machine's not going to work, or they're going to hack the New York Stock Exchange, so your stock goes down, you know, 10%.
You know, now you're really
that's
scaring me. You're really scaring
me.
I was feeling
nonsense.
Good until you brought this up.
No, it's all nonsense. What we have to worry about is electricity. That's the fundamental weak link of the United States. And we have to be concerned with it, and we're not.
Yeah.
There are some that are, but not as much as we should.
You know, that makes a case for actually, rather than having one overseeing electrical guru or whatever you want to call it, that we do have all of these different separate electrical utility companies or whatever, right? So that if something happens in one part of the country, it's not going to affect everybody. You can't just have somebody come along and push a button and destroy our electricity from one coast to the other. Now, like you say, it seems like we've got a lot of, with Pacific Gas as an example, making huge mistakes like they have, causing wildfires and things like that. So we've got, in one case, we've got some ignorance involved. But don't you think maybe we should just keep all of these different electrical utilities, et cetera, kind of individualized?
We don't have any choice because they're private entities for the most part, as you mentioned.
And I think that might be a good thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, what I'm concerned about is their ability to get hacked. It doesn't take much. I mean, imagine if you shut down the electricity for 14 days in California.
No, it could be horrible.
You'll have civil strife you'll have.
Yeah.
Isn't this a happy time I brought you this morning? Or?
Yeah, I was happy until you came on. But now I'm thinking, what's the real risk of some idiot getting into, let's say, the Pacific Gas Company and flipping a couple of switches and turning off all the electricity for 2 weeks? I mean, realistically, is that something that can occur? Really?
No, that's not what I'm referring to. What I'm referring to is if the Iranians,
whether it's Iranian or however they do it. What I mean is, is there a good chance our grid can be attacked like that successfully?
Yeah, from the outside. They don't even have to be in the United States.
Okay.
That's the problem. This is these hackers and the computer systems are so, you know, worldwide that the firewalls are not sufficient. These people know how to get around them, and if they, if the other day here in Florida, we had 5,000 homes that lost their electricity, and I've yet to see why it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And these could be people who are just testing to see whether they can get it done or not. I don't know that, but,
oh, wow.
they can hack this or hack that. And
yeah, it also could be
they're just waiting for the right.
It also could be a squirrel walking across a big power line somewhere doing
could
that.
Be.
5,000 people
wearing a headdress.
Well, Neville, you're always worth talking to, and I didn't even actually get a chance to even ask you about your thoughts on all this impeachment. I know it's not directly in your bailiwick, but I got to ask you anyway. Do you think that this impeachment imbroglio, is this going to be a short-term thing? Are we going to be able to get back? I mean, Trump's speaking about going overseas. He's overseas. He's going to be in Switzerland while all this is going on. Is that a good idea, just to be away from the fray?
Yeah, Davos, a good place to get away from everything.
Yeah, I think so.
Except you're surrounded by completely boring billionaires.
Yes,
I mean, as far as the impeachment is concerned, just know that my thoughts are this is probably the biggest exercise in stupidity that we have watched our government partake in the last century. This is stupidity.
Yeah, I think you sum it up.
Somebody mentioned that they said that. Of course, what Hunter Biden did wasn't a problem at all. I mean, if you want a $50,000 a month job working in oil and gas, you can just go on ZipRecruiter and get a job like that. So, what's the problem with Hunter Biden getting it?
This is so crazy. And you know what? I don't know. President Trump, as commander-in-chief, does have the right to investigate if somebody was, in a prior administration, was doing dirt, overseas with our money and with the office of the presidency at that time, which I think was going on in Ukraine with Burisma. I mean, come on. They didn't hire Hunter Biden for anything other than access to Obama. And Biden,
not just that he had the right, Paul. It's his job.
Yeah, that's
his job as the executive of this country is to make certain that our money is not being spent
right.
and given to people who are corrupt.
Exactly
and
right.
We've been doing it.
He was safe.
We've been doing it for 50 years. Is that's not something which we just approve of?
Yeah, this is why this is so bizarre. He might, if they really get into the nuts and bolts, this is why if they're going to call witnesses, I want to hear from both Joe and young son Hunter about all of this. I think we should find out a little bit more about it and find out if Trump was justified. Do you mind taking a question from my buddy and partner Big Ed here?
Oh, no. Hi, Big Ed. How are you doing?
Hey, Neville. Just one quick question. When you talked about the electrical grid, if we were determined that somebody like Iran had pulled off something like that and shut our electrical grid down, would that be considered an act of war?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say that the reason that it hasn't happened and that it's probably not going to happen is because they are. This reminds me of the old Reagan days when Reagan came in and they had the hostages. But the Iranians are scared to death, not of the United States, but they're scared to death of Donald Trump.
I was going to say
this is a guy. They don't know
what he's going to do.
Yeah, and that scares them. And this is 1980 all over again.
Wow.
And I don't think they will do it. But if they did, I would have to say that. Between their nuclear power and their oil field, and a few other things, they would have a lot of sand to deal with as opposed to oil. They'd get it blown to smithereens.
Wow, Neville, it's always a pleasure to have you. I don't know how many times over the 14 years we've been doing this show that I've had you on, but you're right at the top. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Great, Paul. Wonderful. Thanks for having me. We'll hope to be back soon and have a happy new year and a great decade.
Thank you, Neville, and the same to you. All right. Neville Kramer. Always great to talk with Neville. All right, let's take our break. When we come back, another guy we're going to be talking with is the proprietor of the Barber Pole. We're going to find out if he was really impressed with the delivery of the impeachment documents from House to Senate.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. We are back on a Friday and delighted to have our buddy, the proprietor of the only pole that really counts in this country, the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi, joining us. And Andrew, were you duly impressed with the promenade of that group of Democrats from House to Senate? I got to finish.
Go ahead.
The very, very solemn occasion with the delivery of the impeachment documents, and I'm wondering, did each of the deliverers, did they have that gold-plated Nancy Pelosi pen with them when they were crossing?
Not when they walked in. There's seven dwarfs, Paul.
As a matter of fact,
this morning I had to laugh my rear end off. Somebody videoed the whole thing, you know, with them walking in and stuff, and they put the Benny Hill music to it and speeded it up.
So good.
I spilled my coffee all over the living room floor laughing. It's hysterical. You got to look it up.
Believe me
when I tell you.
I do want to look that one up. Because
it's classic, Paul. It's classic. Oh. And let me tell you something. The people are disgusted with them, with her pens, and the bullet-shaped pen. How'd you like that one?
Whoa. This was a very somber case. Don't you remember that Nancy Pelosi was telling us how saddened she was that we had to go through this? That this was
Paul,
a somber...
Let me tell you.
Don't you remember her dressing in black?
And Paul, Lucifer is waiting for her. That's why she dressed in black. Let me tell you, she's the bride of Lucifer. That's all she is. She's no good. She's vile, disgusting people, and they're trying to ruin the country.
Well,
period.
Now you're talking
this
about...
This whole thing. Oh, now they got the Ukrainian guy there. What's his name?
Yeah.
He said... And the minister of Ukraine, Commander Smith, don't believe a word this guy says. It's useless. But, Paul, again, what I want to know, and I keep asking and asking, why is it always the Ukrainian? What is with this Ukraine?
I know. Well, first of all, if they're really going to get into the Ukraine situation and Donald Trump wanting to investigate what was going on in the 2016 election, and the Obama administration, and the Obama connection to Ukraine, and all the money that we're sending to the... Why are we sending millions, by the way, millions of dollars to the Ukrainians to
begin with? So they can get a kickback here, Paul. They're getting kickbacks. Where do you think they got all their money? Where do you think Obama got $65 million? Oh, it was a contract with Netflix. Come on. They had kickbacks. This was Hunter Biden getting his $50,000 a month, okay? It was Pelosi's son getting... They're all getting paid, Paul. It's kickbacks, and it's all going to come out.
Okay, so that brings us now to the witnesses. Andrew, do you think we should, if you were able to decide, either no witnesses on either side or witnesses on both sides? Let's say you were John Roberts, the Supreme Court.
Well, if I was at this point and I was John Roberts, I'd throw this whole thing out.
Yeah.
Okay? I wouldn't waste my time with witnesses. Listen, enough of the tax money has been spent on all this baloney. How many millions and millions and millions of dollars? You want to talk about poverty in this country? They're making a poverty, spending all this money. The only one getting richer are those people, Paul.
Yeah.
It's disgusting what they're doing.
Okay, John Roberts, of course, is more of a figurehead. He doesn't even have the ability to, to dismiss it, but you're right. So what you're saying is we don't need the witnesses. Let's get it over with quickly. I think that's the McConnell idea.
He's got the right idea, Paul. Okay. You know what? But while she was sitting there wasting her time with her gold pens yesterday, spending millions of dollars, okay, President Trump was using a little Sharpie signing a $200 billion contract with China.
You're right.
Okay? It's a waste of time. These people should be shot.
And did you notice he got a big victory in Congress with that vote, too, 90 to 10 in the Senate? That was pretty good. I mean, come on. And yet you don't hear a word about it. And we're guilty, too. We've been harping on the whole thing of impeachment. The media, of course, I don't even think there's a... I'm looking at the Tampa Bay Times. I don't think there's a story about that China agreement, et cetera.
Of course they're not, because it's in favor of Trump. Yeah. You know, Paul, what we're going to see next week, we're going to see a big trial with this country, with the state of Virginia on Monday, buddy.
Yeah, tell us again about all of that with the gun
situation. Okay, the Governor Northrup there, Mr. Blackface, Mr. Liberal, all his little cronies now involved in Virginia. They're trying to pass all these gun laws, period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they want to close down gun ranges. If you have a pistol that holds more than 14 bullets, and even if there's no rounds in it, you're going to be a felon. It's all kinds of bullcrap.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that he's in a state of emergency, he called. I don't know if you know that or not. Because he knows that there are militia armies on their way up to Virginia, as we're speaking, for Monday. They're having a rally you won't believe. And if I was Governor Northrup, I don't think I'd be sticking my head out of my window too much.
So you think somebody would take a pot shot at him, huh?
I think the Democrats are good targets in Virginia right now. These people are pretty riled up, Paul. But you know what? They'll be peaceful, okay?
Yeah.
Because they're not like this, what do they call them? They're the Antifas and everybody else. They'll be peaceful unless something starts.
Well, let's hope not.
He was talking of calling the National Guard because the governor of a state has the right to call the National Guard. That's not federal.
Mm-hmm. So,
okay, now, and the National Guard, from what I'm understanding, says they're standing down. They're not going to infringe on the people's Second Amendment rights.
Now,
this is pretty heavy duty, Paul. This is more important than what this impeachment baloney is going on, because this impeachment is nothing but bullcrap.
Yeah,
we all know it.
I think you're right. But when is this rally again? When is it scheduled?
Monday, the 20th of January.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You don't hear nothing about it, do you?
No, I have not heard much about it. How many people do you expect will show up?
Well, they have no clue, but I think there's going to be thousands.
Okay.
They're talking militia armies from all 50 states of the country. They're going to meet there.
And
Northrup is worried because he heard they're all going to be armed.
Now, Governor Northrup wants to impose additional restrictions on gun owners. He doesn't want to come into your house and take your guns away. I mean, I know you might think he ultimately wants to do that, but what is the single... issue? What is the single thing right now about what he wants to do that is irking?
Because, Paul, they know what it's leading up to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's a red line drawn, Paul.
Yeah.
There's a red line drawn, period.
Okay.
You know, background checks, that's one thing. Okay, I don't think a nutcase should own a gun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think the majority of people would think that, but as far as saying, hey, just because you're thinking this, we're taking your gun away, we got the right to come in and confiscate your guns, we're going to tax the ammunition. No, Paul, there's a red line drawn, and they're going over that red line.
Yeah. You know, during that Democratic debate, which you did not watch, and I don't blame you, they didn't even bring up gun control. I don't think that it's a winning issue for Democrats right now. I don't think the border is a winning issue.
I can tell you that Virginia will turn red with these gun laws he's trying to put into effect.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll turn into a red state, Paul. And right now it's blue, and they're seeing what's happening.
Well, it's more purple, isn't it?
I don't know. They're saying it's pretty blue.
Well, over there on the northeast side with all those people working for the government, they're all blue.
And like
now,
I
the
told
further
you
away
before,
you get from there, you get more red, right?
And if you, it's like I told you before, if you look back at history, Virginia was a big part of the Revolutionary War.
Oh, yeah.
And in 1861, that's where the Civil War started, and that's where it ended.
Virginia's been at the heart of our historic battles.
Well, it's at the heart right now, and people don't realize what's going on. Like I said, it's silence. You don't hear about it.
No, you're right.
Okay, they're worried about impeachment. This is nothing what's going on with this impeachment. What's going on Monday, we'll see.
Yeah. You know, in the meantime, the unemployment rate is so good. In fact, there's something called the unemployment chart, and this lady, I was going to talk about it a little bit later, this pundit says if the Trump administration was smart, they would be talking about this thing all the time. And let me just tell you that she goes back to all of the presidents since Reagan, and the unemployment rate in the first 35 months, that's how long Trump has been in, the unemployment rate in the first 35 months of all of these presidents, listen to this, starting with Reagan, unemployment during the first 35 months of the Reagan administration, 9%. The George H.W. Bush administration, first 35 months, 5.9. Now, of course, George H.W. was getting the benefits of the Reagan work, you know, and by the time he got in, that was holding down. Then comes Bill Clinton, 6.2%. Then W. Bush, 5.5. Then Obama, 9.3%, the highest of them all. And then Trump, 3.9% unemployment in his first almost 3 years, 35
you know,
months.
Paul,
now, isn't that amazing? Nobody is close.
See, Paul, back in the days when the unemployment was higher, people wanted to work, okay? And they couldn't get the jobs. Nowadays, the Trump is doing so great, the unemployment is 3.2%. The young generations, they're all pissed off because they have to work now.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Okay, so they're all upset. This isn't good for them. They got to go to work. They got to go to their parents' basements, Paul.
It's terrible, isn't it?
It's disgusting.
Going out into the open air?
This is all coming down, buddy. And I think before the elections, we're going to see a lot more, especially with this Ukraine baloney. It's all coming out, Paul. They can only hide the corruption so much.
Okay, Ed's got to get his 2 cents in.
Just before we leave, Andrew, you brought up the Pelosi and crew walking in. It was this part right here.
You pull it up.
But what you didn't hear was
very good.
What you didn't hear was after they signed, they stood up and she congratulated everybody.
Yeah. You pulled that. Isn't that great?
I peed my
pants when I saw that.
Ed, you are so good. I just knew he would come up with that as soon as you mentioned Benny Hill. You know, a lot of people don't remember Benny Hill, but if you ever heard the Benny Hill show, you will never forget that music.
Oh, that's right.
Or the poor little bald guy.
Yeah.
Boy, that guy took a beating, didn't he? Yeah.
Always with the women. Always with the women.
Where is Benny Hill when we need him? Oh, Lord.
No, it was hysterical.
It was. Andrew, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. You always brighten our show. And I can't wait again to talk with you next week. And, you know, by the time we talk on Wednesday, who knows where this whole impeachment trial will be?
Well, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about Virginia.
And Virginia, that's right. Well,
impeachment trial, Paul, they could make that good. You see, Geraldo said he quit drinking until Trump is acquitted with this trial.
Really?
That guy's going to be dry for a while,
He's going to be dry for a while, you think?
That's what I think.
You think it's going to be a long trial?
You know, either McConnell gets his cayunes together and says, see you later, and throws it out, or they can drag it on.
Yeah.
But if they drag it on, I think it's going to be the fall of the Democrats because they're going to pull up their witnesses. You know, it's tit for tat.
Right. And then all hell will break loose.
That's right. Get the popcorn ready.
We will. Thank you so much, Andrew. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, Paul. Be good.
All right. Andrew, the master barber. All right. Let's take our final break. When we come back, I want to talk a little pro football sports with Big Ed, and then the top 10 best songs of 2019.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for our final segment here on Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. I want to bring in Big Ed. He's our not only my buddy, but he's our sports guru. And Ed, two things. Let's start with this baseball cheating. Now Carlos Beltran, who just got over to New York, has been let go. Houston was apparently, what was it, in the 2017 World Series, was actually stealing signs, and now we know it really did occur, right?
Yeah, well, ever since they moved the replay screen into the dugout, that every team in the league now has a camera pointed right at home plate, and evidently they were stealing signs, and they had a little system. All the players did, they would beat on garbage cans, they would have whistles, whatever, that would go off. But here's the thing, the commissioner, you know, suspended or banned, you know, the general manager and the coach, or the manager from
Houston,
and you know, and then they call us Beltran, but all the players knew about this.
Yeah, right. They're part of it.
Why aren't
you think they should be?
Yeah, I think they should. They all knew.
They went along with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why was it unless they cut a deal because. You know, it's. I guess there's so much evidence that they're not even disputing it.
It's almost.
And I think Houston should lose that trophy.
It's almost as bad as the Black Sox scandal of 1919 when they threw the World Series.
Well, I wasn't there for that.
Well, I was.
I don't even know about it, but
it was terrible. And they didn't have TV yet to steal signs, so they just threw the games. But okay, so that's one issue. I want to talk now quickly before we go to our top ten. We got the two championship NFL games coming up. We've got Green Bay at San Francisco in the NFC, mm-hmm. National Conference. And we've got the Tennessee Titans going to Kansas City in the American Conference. So, Ed, real quickly, between Green Bay and San Francisco, who wins that game?
I think that Green Bay will actually be able to pull it out.
You do.
Because I think that San Fran... I just think that, you know, it's their first time in a long time, and usually a team gets the feeling of
the
championship game and get a little jittery, and you know, there's some fumbles here and there, and an interception here and there. And I think because you know, with Aaron Rodgers, he's got so much experience
the quarterback
being in
for
there.
The Packers.
I think that the Green Bay Packers pull out.
Okay,
probably not barely a field goal.
Oh, that'll be an exciting game. Okay, how about between Tennessee and Kansas City?
And Tennessee's really. Has really come out of nowhere. You know, they halfway through the season, they're Marcus Mariota. They said, forget it.
Yeah,
the experiment is over, which the Bucs should
go after him.
Yeah. No. The Bucs should learn from something
that. Okay.
Yeah, and now
we had a chance in Tampa to get Marcus Mariota.
Well, but he didn't work out. But they halfway through the season, they figured this guy's not going to work. It's been 5 years. They should have done the same thing with Jameis. But anyway, I think that Kansas City's too strong, and they're at home. And Patrick Mahomes, quarterback, is just fantastic. And it'll be an old school Super Bowl, Green Bay and Kansas City.
Real quickly, who would win between Green Bay and Kansas City?
I'd have to go with Green Bay because they'd have.
That with your heart or with your brain?
My brain, just
okay.
Yeah,
you think that Aaron Rodgers with all that experience?
I think so.
Okay, very good. All right, my friend, you got to get over to the drums. Take off your guru sports hat and put on your drums hat. We have the top 10 best songs. By the way, Rolling Stone magazine. And Ed, I want to know, amongst these songs, I'll be honest with you, I did not know any of them. And I'm going to ask you if you know any of them as we do them, all right? Top 10 best songs, Rolling Stone, 2019. Number 10, Como un Bebe. That's the Spanish. It's J Balvin, Bad Bunny, and Mr. Easy.
Nope.
Combined. I have no idea what that was, but that's number 10. Number 9, 17 by Sharon Van Etten.
I've heard of that one, yeah.
Have you heard of it? Okay. Do you recall it?
Yeah, I know the tune.
Okay, song?
Yeah, it's all right.
All right. Number 8, Love Stained by Hope Tala.
No.
Okay, I've not heard of it either. All right. Number 7, La Romana by Bad Bunny, Feet, and L Alpha.
Mm-mm.
I don't even know the groups. They're all like combining groups to do this.
Is this the top?
Yeah, from Rolling Stone for 2019. I know, I've never heard of them.
Okay, but you're including like Latin music? And...
I guess. Okay. I don't know. It's the top best songs of 2019. I think these are in the United States. Anyway, the rest of them are pretty much here, for sure. Okay, number 6. Harmony Hall by Vampire Weekend.
No.
I like the name Vampire Weekend, but...
You can only imagine what they look like.
Yeah, exactly. Number 5. Suge, or Sug. It's S-U-G-E by DaBaby.
No.
I think it might be a rap song. Okay, number 4. Number 4 we played at the opening of the show, Cruel Summer by Taylor Swift. Had you heard that one before?
Yes.
That's not a bad song.
No.
At least we understand it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number 3, Old Town Road by Lil Nas X Feat and Billy Ray Cyrus.
It's featuring. It's short for featuring. Is it F-E-A-T?
You're right.
Yeah.
Thank you for correcting me.
It's a song that
really
features a new artist.
Yes.
Featuring. So.
Featuring. I was wondering, you're right. It's featuring Billy Ray Cyrus, but yes. Lil Nas X.
Yeah.
You know the song?
No.
Okay. Number 2, Truth Hurts by Lizzo.
That sounds familiar.
Sounds familiar?
Yeah.
You know what we ought to do from time to time on our show during the year is play each of these songs, just to see what they sound like. Maybe like in the opening. Do you think we should? Or would it be hard to find them?
No, I could find them.
Yeah, I bet you could.
Uh-huh. You'd probably, after two, you'd have enough.
Now, Ed, I hate to do this to you, but I'm going to ask you if you have any idea what...
No.
Okay, I don't think... I can tell you, I have not heard of
this
song.
You'd ask me the lottery numbers, and I'd probably be closer.
Yeah, me too. All right, roll the drums. It's called Bad Guy. Bad Guy by Billie Eilish. Have you heard of Billie Eilish?
No.
Have you heard of Bad Guy?
Nope.
We haven't done very well.
I know of a bad guy, but
yeah,
not the bad guy.
No, not the bad. Well, this is the bad guy. And next time we do this, maybe we'll do a top 10. I don't know. There must be a category of song for the year that you could separate. Maybe, I don't know if it should be country or...
Yeah.
Most played or something like that. But I've never heard of these songs. Never heard of them. All right, my friends, thank you so very much for being with us on Freedom Works. We will be back on Monday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the great TAM Talk Radio Network. In the meantime, never forget, freedom does work.
I was chasing your direction. I was telling you no lies.